5 degrees in downtown Fairhope. You're with Lori Dubose as we welcome Fairhope City Councilman Jack Burrell into the studio. You also serve on the City of Fairhope Planning Commission. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, Lori. Good morning, City of Fairhope.
Feels like I haven't had you in here for a while.
It's been a day or so.
Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. Good to be here.
You also wear the hat as the chairman of the Eastern Shore MPO, if we have time.
Sure.
We'll touch on that as well. Let's start with the Senate bill that passed, SB 107, that is changing our corporate limits or planning jurisdiction, extraterritorial jurisdiction, and what the city can and cannot do. The Planning Commission was addressing it Monday night, and the council is addressing it tonight as well. What exactly did SB 107 do to our control outside of the city limits, but in our jurisdiction?
Well, Lori, as you and I were talking just before the show, the language in some of these state bills is sometimes pretty difficult to understand, even for somebody like a city council person that, you know, lives this every day. Essentially, what it's doing is it's forcing the municipalities around the state, it's not just Baldwin County, but around the state, to pull their planning jurisdictions, which we permitting, their extraterritorial jurisdictions, back to their municipal or corporate limits. And that would take place in, it's either June or July of this coming year of 2023. And so what this resolution, we have a resolution on tonight's, or an ordinance on tonight's agenda to go ahead and pull it back now. A lot of cities around the state, they already confined their planning and permitting jurisdiction to their municipal limits. But Fairhope is one that has always kept it congruent with the police jurisdiction, which has been, in the past, it has been 5 miles. I'm sorry, 3 miles.
Three,
but,
right.
Yeah, 3 miles, I'm sorry. And we are going to pull that police jurisdiction back to 1.5 miles, but now the planning and permitting jurisdiction will not be extended to the police jurisdiction. It will end at the corporate limit. So we're going to hand that back over to the county. That will fall within their planning and permitting jurisdictions. So I know you will ask, well, what's the implications of that? That means that City of Fairhope will not have any say in what's going on the fringes of our municipal limits. And I do question the wisdom of that. I think that we probably are in the best position to know. But the county has been trying to invoke planning districts and zoning that in previously unzoned land, which is a good move. Will they get it all right? Maybe. Maybe not. You know, that there's going to be, they have a lot of land that has been unzoned for a long, long time. So let's just hope that they get it right. But I think that the City of Fairhope will continue to work with the county leaders and try to come up with an understanding. And who knows, you know, in the future that could change. We could, you know, get our planning and permitting jurisdiction back out to the mile and a half, I think, which is what we would desire. I know that the mayor has been in negotiations with the county commissioners, and we will continue to be in conversation, and we will continue to analyze the impact of to the City of Fairhope on this.
It's interesting. You said maybe, maybe not. We could change it back. The bill is full of shall,
yeah.
Shall or
oh, yeah.
Shall not, may or may not.
Well,
but it's giving the authority to the county commission.
Well, it does say if
for
we
anything in the county outside of our city
that's
limits.
Correct.
Going
yes.
Back to the no taxation without representation.
Well,
kind of thing.
Well, first of all, that's, I think, a little bit overstated in that. You know, the people in the county, even if you're directly abutting the Fairhope city limits, they do not pay any property taxes to the City of Fairhope, none whatsoever. The only taxes that are collected in our police jurisdiction would be sales taxes and lodging taxes, and that is to provide police and emergency services to those people, which we do every day outside of our limits. And so we have to generate some revenue somehow to pay for the patrolling and the enforcement of our laws in those extraterritorial jurisdictions.
What will happen to the sales tax and where it goes when this happens?
It will stay with the police jurisdiction. So the sales lodging tax, because we're still funding those the police outside our city limits to 1.5 miles, up to a radius of 1.5 miles, we are still allowed to collect that sales and lodging tax, which is, by the way, only half of what we collect within the city limits. Right. Some people would argue that the cost on the fringes, is there no difference in cost? Does it cost half as much to patrol those areas? Not really. So
right.
Those people are getting I think a bargain by having our police patrol that area.
And fire. This
and fire. You know, and, fire, and right. There's some other, fire's a little more difficult. There are some kind of overlapping jurisdictions. The Fairhope Fire Department is not owned by, the Volunteer Fire Department is not owned by the city of Fairhope, and they have some autonomy to extend their jurisdictions to where they believe they need to fight fires, and that may overlap with Barnwell, or it may overlap with Fish River, it may overlap with Daphne. I've been to fire scenes and seen Daphne and Fairhope Volunteer Fire Department, you know, both at, on the scene.
Yeah, they back
Barnwell.
Up each other.
They back up each other. So, yeah, that's never been a problem. And from what I understand, the people in the county that are on the fringes of the city have always enjoyed having Fairhope police. Now, the county sheriff's department is capable of that, but are they going to increase the number of patrolmen, number of cruisers that they have on the fringes? Can they get there as quick as Fairhope police? Those are the questions. So, but the police jurisdiction is not changing. Other than that, it will be drawn back another mile and a half
to the 1.5 miles.
It used to be 3 miles.
So,
yes.
How much do you anticipate the city losing in sales tax revenue from the 3 miles to the mile and a half?
Not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. Once you get out from that mile and a half radius to 3 miles, you know, there's not a lot of businesses there.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of farmland, mm-hmm. Livestock, vacant land, you know, cropland. So not a whole lot. And we wanted to keep it 3 because we like to keep a buffer around our city. We've asked the police in the past what they liked, and they have said that they have liked to keep that buffer. But we're okay with the mile. The city of Fairhope is okay with the mile and a half on the police jurisdiction.
The mile and a half will not apply for building of neighborhoods or commercial businesses.
Right.
That's what the ordinance says.
Well, and
now,
I think that's what everybody's concern is. And listen, I get it. It's a fine and delicate balance.
Especially since, think about it, just what, 8 months ago, a moratorium was enforced on development outside the city limits.
In our planning jurisdiction.
Now
that won't be enforceable.
Now we're going to have to just hand over all of it to
right.
the county.
Which means when you call the city to complain about what's going on next to you, it has been that authority is being taken away from the city of Fairhope. And so I understand it. If you're an owner, you want the highest use, meaning what makes you the most money. But I understand you as a citizen, you know, you want certain checks and balances on the growth of the city and how it grows, where it grows, and we're not going to be able to have much say so in that. So people are going to have to get more involved with their county government. And you know, there's 4 county commissioners. They're going to have to pay attention to these meetings. And you know, quite frankly, 4 people representing a county as large as Baldwin County, can they stay on top of that?
You just read my mind.
It's difficult.
Really,
it's going to be honest with themselves, it's going to be a very difficult task for them. Very difficult.
Their planning department would have to expand. Their sheriff's department everything has to expand in order to serve.
Well, and then you have to ask yourself, is this a money grab for the permitting fees? Is it? We don't know. Are they doing it because they want the permitting fees? Maybe they feel like, well, they'll grow because they'll get plenty of permitting fees.
And speaking of money, financially, it will affect Fairhope. And the fact that some of the building did require fees, impact fees and whatnot to the city. And remind us how it worked where, before this happened, the city didn't have total control in corporate limits,
no.
But some control. Let's talk about the difference between the development.
You said in the corporate limits?
And I mean within the
extraterritorial?
Yes, within the extraterritorial.
Well, You know, in some cases there was almost a dual jurisdiction. I've seen it where in some of these fringes in unzoned parts of the county, things would go to the county planning commission, and if they decided not to rule on it, they would kick it to the Fairhope Planning Commission. I've seen that happen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it puts the city of Fairhope in the hot seat to make, you know, decisions, sometimes popular, sometimes unpopular. So the county could just wash their hands of it. And, you know, so it's kind of like, well, you can take the cases that you want and then hand off the rest to us.
Not now, though. Once this is
Once this is passed, yeah, it's going to change that.
Okay.
And, you know, we'll see how they, you know, they may handle it just fine. They may handle it just fine. I think what it's going to do, and this is just my opinion, is just going to open their eyes to the challenges that we as a city face in the city of Fairhope. Because we're very unique in that we are one of the fastest growing cities in the county and in the state and in the nation, percentage wise. And we can only grow, you know, two directions. We were bounded by pretty much Daphne on the north. We're bounded by Mobile Bay on the west. And so we can grow south and east, and the development pressures on those lands are tremendous. And everybody, I don't have to tell people that the you know, it's the land is a premium here, and there are great pressures on our properties, and it's going to be a trying time for the county in these instances. And we've been dealing with this forever, but we'll see. You know, maybe they'll do an admirable job, but people are going to have to get involved.
What do you mean by that?
They're going to have to pay attention. They're going to have to attend these, you know, county planning sessions.
Right.
They're going to have to attend planning. Not only county planning, but county commissioner meetings, just like they would a city council meeting,
right,
just like they would a planning commission. But people are going to have to get more involved in a way in which they don't have as much say in the politics, you know, that we can be held accountable in this city, and you can hold the county commissioners accountable. However, the city of Fairhope is just a small portion of the county. So,
right, yeah, it's not just Fairhope.
So what I'm saying is, you know, the people, you know, in Bay Minette aren't going to be paying attention to what's going on in Fairhope.
Sure.
So if you have some big hoopla going on down here, you know, the only people that are going to care are the people most affected, and the local people. And so that makes it a challenge to and that makes accountability a challenge.
It's now, on the flip side, the proponents of this say there's a very simple answer: annex into the city limits wherever you are contiguous.
That's right. But then that goes back to, you're going to have people,
or
especially
zone,
large landowners are going to say, well, if I annex and I have to come in at R1, I can only get X number of lots out of this property. But if I can, you know, stay in the county's already zoned it, you know, an equivalent of, say, R5, which may be multifamily homes. An example of that, Lori, would be the county just zoned some property south of town,
mm-hmm,
directly to the west of the new Publix that's going in right by just north of Battles Road.
Mm-hmm.
And the city is in the process of annexing, you know, the Publix property and two, I say large, relatively large, not when you're talking farmland, but 20, 30 acre tracts of land. We are in the process of annexing those properties. But then there is a property that sits behind Publix, that is between Publix and the subdivision that's just to the west of that. There's a strip of land, and a county zoned it, and they zoned it for, I think, up to, and I'm just rolled back onto the Planning Commission, but they're going to allow a density of 15 units per acre. How do you think the people of that subdivision feel about that? Did they have a say-so in that? 15 units an acre, right abutting their subdivision. Are the county's subdivision regulations as strict as ours? Are they going to have the same landscape buffers? Are they going to have the same green space?
Well, that's my understanding. When a group of citizens get enough signatures to go to the commission and get a referendum and vote for zoning, then those same citizens have a hand in forming that zoning and the rules that will apply.
Well, but did they have a hand? Do you think those people had got to say what that was going to be zoned?
Well, they should have paid attention.
Well, I think that you put that zoning on a ballot and nobody has a time to understand, you know, read right. that or understand that, because as you see on these ballot measures, they might put a 2-page verbal description of that land, and I've already talked to some of our newly elected state representatives, said, you know, we need a picture to go in there, something that people can look at and know what they're voting on. Who knows where the...
Like the Barnwell district.
The Barnwell Landmark Historic District is a prime example. I mean, the verbal description of that property, you know, people have always thought in the back of their mind, Barnwell, but that took up the whole
map.
East, south, and east side of Fairhope.
When you were saying we can go east, I was like, not very far because of this district.
No, we can't forcibly annex. They can choose. They can choose to annex in.
Okay. We're speaking with Fairhope City Councilman Jack Burrell here at WABF. It is 8:45 and 65 degrees. We're going to pause real quick and check in with Kenny in coastal traffic in case there's any issues that could affect your drive, and we'll be back with more in just a moment. WABF, good morning.
From the Spring Hill Toyota Traffic Center, Mobile Police on the scene of some accidents, including one with the power pole down, Virginia Street at South Conception. Avoid that area downtown. Other accidents, North University at Old Shell, St. Louis Street at North Royal Street, and a few areas of fog hanging in there, including crossing the Bayway at the Midway Point, but no delay there. Celebrate Christmas with family and friends at Bellengrave Gardens and Home for the 28th year of Magic Christmas and Lights. There's a new scene you don't want to miss, open now through January 4th nightly, close Christmas and New Year's Day. Get tickets at bellengrave.org. It's Kenny with Coastal Traffic on WABF 1480.
And thank you, Kenny. It is 8:46. You're with Lori DuBose and Fairhope City Councilman Jack Burrell. Let's move on to tonight's Fairhope City Council meeting. Council meets at 6 in regular session, preceded by the work session at 4:30. Anything on the work session that you would like to mention?
Yeah, I think we're going to hear from the school commission, public schools commission. Miss Amy Foley is going to give an update, and I've taken a glance at some of the data she's going to present to us, and what you're going to see is hopefully no surprise to anyone, but just to see how well the Fairhope schools, Fairhope and Newton schools, have done for the past 2 years. We are far exceeding the proficiencies of the state and the counties.
That's good.
By double digit margins. So we're looking pretty good. I'm looking Fairhope Middle School ranked 6th in the state. You know, that's one of the goals. If you go back in the history of the school system and what we were trying to accomplish, one of them was to we always wanted to be a top 10 school. And I can remember when we were around number 15, which is a great number, by the way. But now I'm seeing numbers in front of me that, you know, Fairhope Middle School, number 6 in the state. That's nearly top 5. That's a public school. Run by this county. I think that speaks volumes about what they've got going on. I want to thank people that supported, you know, the additional millage on the school overlay district. I think that that is making a difference in these young children's lives and then their education. And I know that Fairhope High School as well, you know, people always look at the high school, although all the schools are just as equally important, from the elementary schools to middle school to high school. But Fairhope High School is now broken into the top 10 in the state of Alabama. So those goals, long time goals of the city of Fairhope, have been met. And we're just continuing to rise. So thank you, citizens, for your continued support. And thank you, Fairhope School Commission and other partners like FEEF for all you've done. This is, I tell you, I came in a great mood today, right? I mean, this is good news. It's Christmas. I'm kind of tired of the fog, but But other than that, you know, this is some great news, Lori.
Good news. Well, thank you, Jack. Before we run out of time, let's briefly cover a couple of things. So to get back to the planning issue and our city limits versus the jurisdiction, there's a final adoption where the city will discontinue issuing building permits outside of our city limits but within the planning jurisdiction. And then there's going to be... Is this the same as subdivision, or there'll be two different ones? I guess building permits are different than subdivision
building
regulations.
Building permits, you know, are different. Yeah. They of course, go hand in hand with
there will be
with
another
subdivision regulations, and we'll talk about what portion of the subdivision regulations that they still have to abide by. I'm not sure that they have to abide by any of our subdivision regulations once this is passed, but we shall see.
Yeah, according to the wording in the resolution, it would be, from the Planning Commission, that is, there would be no checks and balances for the city. At all.
Yep, and me just rolling on to the Planning Commission literally less than a week ago.
Oh, really?
I went to the meeting last Monday night, but that's the first meeting that I have attended. You know, the city council rotates. That's the first meeting that I have attended in probably 4 or 5 years that I attended as a member. I'm sorry. I've attended a lot of them as a council member.
Before we run out of time, resolution number 10, whereas the City of Fairhope Police, the City of Spanish Fort Police, and Coastal Alabama Community College Police are going to agree to form a unified special response team.
Well, you know, this was put on the council agenda last week. I reviewed this this past weekend, and you know, I do have some questions about, you know, cost upon this. I think that, you know, mutual aid is a type of mutual aid type agreement. I think those are always a good thing. You know, sometimes you may not have a need for a special team just for one city, but if you can go in partnership with several cities, it helps, because you all share in the cost. So I am kind of curious as to what this entails. I don't see anything where it commits the city to any money, but if you're having to pay officers overtime for additional training such as that, what's all involved? I do want to know more about that. But this is just a memorandum of understanding, and I would like to know if this has to be funded in any manner.
For purpose of receiving and extending services in the form of a unified special response team with related services and resources extended to one another when such assistance is requested.
Yeah, devil's in the details, and I don't have them in this book right now.
Seems odd to me that, you know, Fairhope is in here, but not Daphne, and then Spanish Fort.
Well, what kind of gets me is, you know, every week when we are every other week when we have our work sessions, I would like to see the police department give us a little preface to this in a work session rather than put it on an agenda and it to have to be considered when it's the first time we hear about it.
Okay.
That's a little I think that's getting the cart ahead of the horse, but it may be no big deal either, so I'll be, you know, measured in that.
Okay. Turning the page, number 11, I'm just looking at a few big numbers. $96,000 to extend the Maynard Cooper and Gale PC engagement letter agreement. What is that?
Yeah, these are some lobbyists that we have, basically, that work in Washington, D.C., and I think that they have, you know, we signed them up to a six-month contract last year earlier this year. I'm already into January in my mind.
Right, right.
But we feel like they have performed well. We feel like that we're getting our money's worth in federal grants. And, you know, you've seen us win several, you know, like million here, million there. And, you know, I'll spend $96,000. That's been within 6 months. This is for an additional year. So, you know, if we spend $96,000 and we feel like we're getting something in return, then it's a good deal for the city of Fairhope. And we do feel like we're getting our money's worth right now.
A lot of grant money.
Yep.
Coming in.
Right.
Number 12 and 13 look like electric department improvements, $75,000 for a power line conversion or engineering services for, and then $102,000 for a truck shed for the electric department, a steel truck shed.
Well, I'm going to ask that question, of course, and I have it somewhere in here. It is budgeted, so that was put in the budget. Those things that we look at in the budget, but, you know, we looked at the budget months and months ago. But so we do have what you always hear to us referred to as the green sheet. I believe It may even be...
It's just a formality. You have to vote on it.
Something, yeah, we get a second bite at the apple because we've always said you don't know what the year's going to bring you revenues. If they're falling short, mm-hmm. it could be something that we don't want to approve. It may be something we want to add because we're ahead. That looks to be in line with budget projections. Number 11, we'll ask questions on the electrical for the power line conversion. I know we've been meeting with the electric department. There's a lot of things going on. And in the downtown area, we are wanting to make some changes to our power lines so that we can do switching and maybe putting stuff underground, keeping it safe from storms, and you know there's a lot of benefit to going underground, but we'll ask questions as to, you know, it's very expensive to do that, so is that absolutely necessary? But mm-hmm. when you're talking the heart of town, it probably is.
Okay, Jack, I am out of time. Yeah. If you can stick around for some Swap Shop, you're more than welcome to.
I would love to. Thanks for the invitation, but I have his holiday season. People are wrapping up a lot of work, and I'm going to have to get to my office and try to do my own engineering this morning.
Thank you so much.
Thank
for
you,
Lauren.
Thank mm-hmm. you, City of Fairhope, and Merry Christmas to everyone. If I don't speak to you, or if I don't see you on the street before Christmas, please have a safe and happy holidays.
Thank you, Jack. You too. Merry Christmas. It is now 8:55 and 65 degrees. WABF, good morning.